Yesterday, Sherry and I drove to Danville for a birthday party with her family. 9 people made it. We had 5 people who had birthdays in September, so this was our get-together. Sherry's mom is a fabulous cook and baker and homemaker and housekeeper. She has always been in charge of all of the meals at all of our get-togethers. But now with her recuperating from carpal tunnel surgery and knee surgery and having other health concerns, and with Sherry's dad in stage 7 of Parkinson's and totally bedbound, there is a changing of the guard, if you will. From now on, her mom will do the smaller get-together meals, and as she is able to, and Sherry will have responsibility for the larger meals of Thanksgiving and Christmas and Easter and any others that may happen. And in our family, her means us. We had a fantastic day yesterday, and everything was just absolutely great. Everyone in my family right now has a cold. So I'm the only one here this morning. So I can say this, and Sherry won't scold me after the service. Sherry is a wonderful person. She is a wonderful wife. She is a wonderful mother. And if I were to say that and she was here, she would be underneath the pew right now, you know, with a pink face. But we have 3 amazing kids. No son-in-law yet. No daughters-in-law yet. No grandchildren yet. But I do not know how I could become any richer. Please don't tell Uncle Sam. I guess there's always room for more things. But I've never been big on things. Maybe that matches well to being a United Methodist pastor. I guess there's always room for more money, but true wealth is not measured in bank accounts. It's measured in your personal relationship with Christ, in your relationship with others, with people, and being able to live a life with a purpose and with direction. To me, that's true wealth. I want to add a reading to what Marcia read for us this morning, and it's over at the very end of the New Testament, in the 3rd letter of John, verses 2-4. And it is written, "Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, and that you may be in health. I know that it is well with your soul. For I greatly rejoiced when some of the brethren arrived and testified to the truth of your life, as indeed you do follow the truth. No greater joy can I have than this, that to hear that my children follow the truth." So I was looking at these 3 verses, and there's a phrase in verse 2 here that just sort of caught my eye. I read it how our Pew Bible, which, as you know, is the Revised Standard Version, but I looked it up in several versions, and the King James Version says it this way. It says it, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers." That caught my eye too. The writer here is saying that prosperity and good health is connected to how the soul prospers. It's not disconnected. It's not unrelated. It's connected. Now, as Christians, we believe that the Bible teaches that when the soul is healthy, everything else falls into alignment. All the other things and all the other stuff gets added to some degree or other in our lives in one form or another, whether it's because we earn it or it's because it's given to you as a gift or you receive it as an inheritance or even by chance. All the other things and stuff will come. It comes to us one way or another, doesn't it? And I think that's what that phrase here means. Prosper in all things. That all of that only comes as the soul, our spirit, is in proper alignment with God. And when our soul is aligned, our spirit is aligned, all these other things, all these other stuff will come. And that's why he said, I wish above all things, above anything else, number one on the list, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul is in good health. Another version put it this way, beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health. I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Now, about 50 years ago or so, there was a lot of misguided preaching and flat wrong teaching on biblical prosperity. And just so you know, I do not agree with that vein of theology, that vein of thinking of the so-called prosperity gospel. I think it was greatly misguided and not helpful. And digging into all of that and doing a corrective on that, that's a message for another day, okay? But I do believe that God wants each believer to prosper in all areas of life. I believe that God wants each believer to prosper spiritually and emotionally and, yes, financially. And I believe that God gives us minds to think and that we should use them to prosper and to advance the good causes of humanity, that God gave each person talents and skills and abilities to gain additional talents and additional skills, and not just to help ourselves, not just to pad our own nest, if you will, but to use what God has given us to help others. To help others know their abilities, their purpose, and their direction, and ultimately to know Him. It's prosperity with purpose. One question that I think is very important for the church and for America today is this: can we live with blessing and increase spiritually? Can we do both? In other words, is it possible to live with the blessings that we enjoy with living in the greatest country in the world and with all that's available to us? Can we do that and increase spiritually in faith, in grace, both in our personal relationship with Christ and as a part of His church and what He wants to do in us and what He wants to do through us? Because the seduction of wealth is that it can turn a person inward. That was the case with old Ebenezer Scrooge, wasn't it? He lived with blessing and wealth, but it wasn't increasing spiritually for him. There was a disconnect there, and it turned him inward and downward, right? But he couldn't see it. He couldn't see it. Self-survival was his watchword until, well, you know the rest of the story, right? I think that we can prosper in all things. I think that we can live with blessing. I think we can enjoy it without guilt. And I think that we can love God and others and serve the Lord faithfully, whatever the degree and extent of blessing God gives to each person. And I believe that with God's grace, we don't have to choose to measure prosperity only by things or only by a stuff accumulated or by stocks and bonds and bank accounts. I believe that we can know true wealth. I believe we can experience it. But it's never just for self. It must be used to promote God's kingdom and Christ's mission and the Holy Spirit's work of reconciling the world to Christ. It's not easy. It's not easy. But it's possible. It's possible with God's grace and help, supporting determination to do so. And learning and then accepting, I think, what true wealth really is. Let's think on these things as we come to the table this morning.